Hello there, I'm the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So today I'm going to be going over a new book that just came out called A Thousand Heartbeats by Kiera Cass. And Kiera Cass is known for the Selection series. And I did read the first Selection, the first trilogy, and it was pretty decent. It wasn't like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't end up reading all of the little sequels and the sub-books and the little novellas. I didn't read that whole other rest of the series. But I did enjoy the Selection when it came out. And that trilogy was pretty decent, so yay. So when this came out, I was like, okay, let's go for it. I was a little disappointed. We have our heroes here are Annika and Lennox, and this is billed as a complete story in one book, so it's not going to be a trilogy or anything. Enemies to lovers romance type of thing. Cool. So we have Annika, who is the princess and second child of the king and the sadly dead queen of this kingdom. And Kadir? I could never figure out how to say the name of it. And so she lives there, and she lives a pretty decent life, but she knows she's got a job to do. She's, you know, supposed to marry a certain person that she's been raised with and doesn't really have any feelings for, but yeah. But she's gonna marry this guy for the good of the kingdom. She's always known she's pretty much had to do it. She's not surprised by it. She doesn't like it, but this is what we gotta do. It's her job. This is what she's been raised for. Her brother, who is her older brother and the prince and heir to the throne, is supposed to marry someone outside of the country to form allegiances and alliances, whereas she's supposed to serve by having married someone inside to solidify a claim to the throne that they've had for however many generations anyway, so why, but whatever. And then the alternate view is Lennox, and we literally is Annika Lennox, Annika Lennox, chapter. Lennox is this guy from this land, it's called the unclaimed land or something, and they live in he and the rest of the people around him live in this dilapidated castle, which they've been working on fixing up. They are believed that they are what are known as the Dalranians, and so they believe that they have a claim to the throne that Annika is at, that it's really their country, and they got kicked out of it and they want it back. And so he is supposed to be this ruthless guy who kills anybody who tries to desert, basically anybody who comes into their fold, like people who are escaping tyranny from some other country somewhere far away and land in their unclaimed area, whatever. You're now Dairanian. Congratulations. You can never leave. And it's, you know, he kills anybody who tries. So sorry about that. So basically the idea is that, you know, he's wants that land back. He is, however, subject to a guy named Kwan. For whatever reason, this guy is keeping Lennox around, but hates him, like, with a passion, burning fire passion, hates him, beats him up, like, literally beats the crap out of him, and Lennox doesn't really fight it, but he goes and takes it on everybody else. But Kwan sends him on this thing. They have what's called a commission, and basically it's, you create your own quest, go do it, and come back and prove that you really do want to, you know, fight for Dalaran, and you know, okay, fine. So now apparently Lennox's dad had been sent out on a commission at one point, and he ended up in Annika's country, got captured, was beheaded, and then his body was sent back. So Lennox has something to prove. Arr, his mother is sleeping with Kwan. Yeah. And so Lennox has decided he is going to go back to Kadir, or however you say it, to Annika's kingdom, and his commission will be just go in and get a crown and come back to prove that it can be done, you can get there, you can get in there, and we can defeat them. Let's give our country hope. Ooh, ah, I don't know what that is, what that means, what, why it being crowned, but whatever. So they set out on their way. And they go, and they have an overnight, they camp, they go back, they head out again in the morning, and sometime in the afternoon, they come across Annika and her betrothed as they're making a tour of the country. But the betrothed doesn't know where the freaking borders are, so he doesn't even know that they've already crossed out of the border of Kadir or whatever. Annika does, and it's like, oh, look at that. And then poof, there's Lennox and five, like a total of five people, along with Annika, her guards, her betrothed, and somehow they get close enough that they can actually hear Lennox say, get them. And the professionally trained guards are defeated by these few people. Her betrothed goes running off like a big old chicken, pardon my French, shit, eventually is defeated and knocked unconscious, and they capture Annika and take her back, and somehow get her back, like, within a few hours, even though they had to camp and sleep. This is where I'm frustrated by this book. Well, many things. I'm frustrated also by the fact that while it has some good moments, it's very tell, not show, instead of show, not tell. There's a lot of, oh, and I suddenly think he's just amazing, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm just going to tell you, he's amazing. He's an amazing guy. I am suddenly in love. Well, what made you do that? I hate it when people tell instead of show. Not that I'm any better as a writer, I suck, but I can appreciate it when people do it well, and this is not done well. So he gets her back. They, you know, kind of slap her around a little bit and show her off to Kwan and go, look, we got the princess, ha ha ha, we're gonna take her downstairs and torture her. But he, for some reason, decides not to actually torture her. He's just gonna, you know, try and get in her head a little bit. And luckily for all of us, Annika has been trained in picking locks by a friend who runs the library, which comes in handy multiple times throughout the book, and her brother has been teaching her to sword fight. So she figures out with her hairpins how to pick the lock on her cuffs, use the cuffs to get the one bar in the window loose, and she crawls out. She has to take off all of her everything but her underwear to get through the thing, and why she leaves that all on the frickin' bed instead of taking it with her, you know, pushing it out first so she could then get dressed again on the other side. No, I don't know. But she crawls through in her underwear and runs and gets to the forest overnight, where she hides and he lets her get away and is home that day, even though he left at very early dawn and they had to stop and sleep overnight on the first round. But she ends up back home very quickly. And there's a point where she's like, and she left her engagement ring on the, you know, or whatever, in on the bed where she left. And then we never mentioned the engagement ring again. Her fiance is an absolute jerk, and he keep trying to tell her how to live and how to keep your hair up and do this and do that. And she's like, no, chuck that. I'm the princess. You're nothing. So we've got this whole thing going on. And then, you know, there's going to be, okay, we're going to, no, the king is now aware that there's this other group, and now we're going to set up a peace treaty, which of course both sides are setting up for. We're going to, you know, surprise attack them and destroy them. So they both send armies, but they're both doing it because they figure the other group is going to be more trusting. And so they both send armies, and then everything goes to hell in a handbasket. And things just keep happening from there. And they end up in the middle of a freaking hurricane. And Lennox and Annika end up trapped in a cave together during a hurricane that lasts for hours and hours. And then they fall in love. And oh my gosh, and isn't it beautiful? And then there's an earthquake. Let's just add to the weird. So the more I talk about it, the more creeped out. And like, the more I'm just sitting here going, wait, what? So, I mean, it really does have some good moments, but I think the plot structure is kind of like a weird, it's like a, you know how the plot structure goes, like rising action, rising action, rising action, climax, and then it suddenly drops. This is like a weirder version of that. The very beginning is very slow as you're introduced to the two characters. It was very hard to get into, but I pushed. Once they meet each other, things start moving, but it's like going like a roller coaster that has a really slow start, you know? They get up the hill, and even when they get to the top of it and it starts going down, it's like it's only a slight hill, so they're just kind of coasting a little slow. And then things all of a sudden happen at the end, and it's like just drops, like the plot just goes vroom, super fast, like a roller coaster that, you know, now we've hit this like sharp 90-degree angle and we're just gonna fall down. That's how fast the ending was. It's like this whole last like third, which is like vroom, and you're just sitting here going, what the hell, just what? So, you know, again, it's Kira Cass. I wanted to like it. I like the selection. I wanted to really like enjoy this. And again, there are some really good moments, but that's what I seem to be finding a lot of. Like, I can't seem to find a good, consistent, 90% of this book is awesome. It's more like, you know, it's a 50-50, and the 50 that's impressive is just kind of split up all over the place. It makes me think of the term, the saying about baseball. It's 15 minutes of fun over 2.5 hours. Yeah, that's like what this kind of is. There were some good moments, and it was just spread out over a lot, and I just didn't understand the timing. We had people traveling back and forth within a day between these two countries that are so separated. There might even be another country in between, apparently, at the very beginning, but they didn't know each other. You know, the one group didn't even know the other ones existed, and it's very confusing. Like, someone didn't pay attention to time. They just couldn't figure out the time on that. And if you're hearing a purring, it's my cat. She's very very purry right now. So it just, someone was not doing their quality checks on that. It's like watching a movie where the glass of wine is empty, but then it's full again in the next shot, and then it's empty again in the next one. Someone wasn't doing their job. Say hello, Cindy. So the whole thing is just kind of it. I'm still trying to figure out, because I thought I knew what I was going to give the rating, but the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, wait a second. So yeah, the characters are interesting. Some of the stuff is totally not plausible at all, and other stuff is like, well, that does make sense. The romance that Annika's older brother has, that, get it. Her dad has gone a little nuts after her mom was killed, and guess who killed her? Lennox. So spoilers. Not that it's big a thing. And Annika forgives him. I just, yeah. Yes, Cindy, you're adorable. So, it's just, and yet when they're in love, they are so solidly in love. They're never gonna, but no, she still has to marry this other creepy dude. No, he still has to take over, and one of them has to die, or, you know, be exiled forever, and blah, 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 blah. It's just, and of course the point, when, you know, you get to a point where it's like, yep, that was obvious. I've already done some spoilers. I'm not gonna do that one, but there is an obvious, well, duh, out of all of that. And you're like, well, yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. I totally could see that coming from a mile away, 10 miles away. Heck, it's really, really obvious. But, you know, so it has its cute moments. It's a nice little interesting step in. Sorry, you're just getting a lot of Cindy today. So you have some really great things, instances, moments, lines like that. It's just like they're there, but the logistics, the continuity, it's not. There are some serious failings going on. And so if you can see past that and see those moments and see that end result, you know, you might do really well with this. But if you can't, if you get stuck on the, what the heck, how did she get home in just a few hours after it took so dang long for them to do it riding freaking horses and she was on her feet? What the heck? If you can get past that, you might really enjoy this book. Anyway, it's 1,000 Heartbeats by Kira Cass. And I'm going to, on my rating system, I have one being avoid. Oh my gosh, avoid. Police line, do not cross. 5 being this is the most fantastic thing ever. 2 being eh. 3 being eh. And 4 being huh. This is an eh. I'm going to go with 3. More like a 2.5, but eh. So yeah, I'm going to say this is like a 3 out of 5, an eh. And that's kind of where I leave it. It's going to be totally forgettable. I'm going to be able to, like, you know, not even think about it and go, eh, whatever. People are going to say, is this book any good? And I'm going to go, oh, I know I read that, but I can't remember anything about it. That's basically what's going to happen there. So anyway, again, Library Talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. Again, Kira Cass, 1,000 Heartbeats, 3 out of 5. And I hope you guys have a really great day.